blessing to St. Timothy. Amen. And we give God praise for Brother John G. Amen. Amen. He's been working with us in the Straight Gate Ministries for some time now. It's been several years we've been working hand in hand, and so we give God praise for his help in every area. Amen. Amen. He is an inspiration to me. Amen. It's a good thing you have to have people refresh you. You may not realize that, but if you're a minister, it doesn't mean you have it all together. You have to have somebody to have your back. Amen. Amen. Because it might even be more hairy than you think sometimes when you're dealing with ministry in general. Amen. Amen. So I do thank God for my brother, John G., coming out to give support. Amen. Amen. So those of you who have been sojourning with us here at St. Timothy over the past so often, you are aware that we have been working our way through the epistle to the Romans. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I can announce today, I think we'll get through the rest of it. Amen. This is the final installment in the epistle to the Romans. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we have been working our way through this epistle, and it is a blessing because out of all the things in the New Testament,
yes,
you see the epistle to the Romans is probably one of the most well needed. I don't know, I guess you can't say any of it is not well needed, but think of the Bible without the book of Romans. It would just be so much missing. The Apostle Paul has given us a great blessing in his writing this letter. And so today we're going to take a few verses here. We're at the last part now, as we said, in the 16th chapter, the final verses. And we're going to look and connect that with a thought from the Old Testament, the book of the Psalms. And this is found in Psalm number 78. And today, because of the structure of this lesson, I'm going to probably do this reading so that we can just kind of flow through it. And we do have a few more names that are kind of interesting. We looked at all those people last week, yes, as we talked about the impact of relationships with practical people and how simplistic it is, the relationships, yet how profound they are. The fact that you are saved. There's a world of difference between a person who is saved and a person who is lost.
Amen.
And it's not God's desire that anyone should be lost.
Yes.
God has done that which is necessary for everyone to be saved. And he wants everyone to be saved. And yes, you and I have the privilege to be able to speak life to people by sharing this message.
Amen.
And so our lesson today, on that note, and the final thing that Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans is the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Okay, and that's the whole issue in a nutshell. There were things that God had had in his mind all the way back, even before the world began. And he began to reveal those things in time. And that's what we have at the first advent of Christ. It's something that God was planning from before the world began. And it came down at that time in history. And Paul is kind of the reporter who reports it based on what he learned from the law and the prophets and his personal experience with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road.
Yes.
So the text here today is on the screen here before you, and we're going to take a look here in just a few words as we have arrived at this final study through the entire epistle to the Romans. The Apostle Paul issues a final warning against false teachers of all things. Now, and which have always been against God and the truth. There always has been false teachers.
Always.
Ever since sin entered into the world, there's always been somebody teaching the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And those who were being justified by God by his grace. So we want to listen in today. This is a crucial concluding message in our final study in the Epistle to the Romans. So let me share with you a thought that comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms. This is a mass kill of Asaph. Don't worry about what that means. If it doesn't hit you as anything, it's a particular type of song. Remember, all the Psalms were songs that were written to give God praise and to glorify God. The Asaph says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So you see the perpetual passing of the secrets of God from one generation to the next here being talked about and extolled by Asaph, who was one of the Old Testament psalm writers. Now, as we look at these final verses, remember last week we concluded with just what Brother G said here this morning, salute one another with an holy kiss. Paul was just given a list of all kinds of people who he had shared the gospel with that he considered to be co-laborers with him in spreading the truth. This message that God had sent into the world, that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Now, in the midst of all these people who he named, who we said are just practical people in the church, he says here in Romans 16, looking at verse 17, now I beseech you, that means I plead with you, brethren. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You see that? He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So he's giving out a warning here that we have to be careful, because there are people there who come in and introduce poor or incorrect doctrine, and they don't have God's agenda in mind. They have their own agenda in mind. They're looking to suit their own appetite, and they come with fair words and speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. Okay, he says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. He speaks to the Romans. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, Paul says, excel in that which is good and try to sequester and remove that which is evil. He wants you to be adults in the right thing and separate yourself from evil things in your life. And then what is the result of that? This part I love, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet sharply. Mm-hmm. See that? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now you see, that sounds like the conclusion of the whole letter right there. Now notice this, he goes on. Sometimes it's hard, you know how that is. We have time, some hard time separating sometimes. Yes. We think we've said the last thing we need to say, and three or four more things rise up in our spirit, and we ramble on, especially preachers. They have a thing, y'all gonna say, yes, that's right, y'all. Y'all got really big motor mouths. But the fact is, yeah, he turns around now after he says this. Notice what he says in verse 21, Timotheus or Timothy are my fellow worker, you could say, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. He goes back to what he was thinking before, but he had to insert a warning in the middle. He was talking about these practical people in the church, and that thought of give them a warning popped into his mind. And now notice this verse 22. This is very important. I, Tertullus, who write this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now he was what is known as an amanuensis. He actually took the pen and wrote these things down. He was like a secretary. Paul dictated to him what he wanted to say, and he took it and wrote it down on paper, because by this time Paul has had bad eyesight, and he had someone else that was known as an amanuensis, who was called here Tertullus, to write the epistle down in actual lettering. And now notice Gaius, mine host. We heard of him in the 2 John, I think it was there. He says, and the whole church salutes you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, that means he's in city office, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. These are just other people in the church that he wants to say, salute those to whom he's writing in Rome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Looks like he's finished again, doesn't it? But then he says, now to him, he can't stop without giving God praise. You ought to be like that. When you're in the midst of everything you're doing, you should come to a point where you say, I just got to stop and give him praise right along here. You know, because everything God does is a glorious thing in our lives. He always blesses us with more than we could ever bless him with. And so I always find good reason to give him praise. I don't know where you stand on that. But just like Paul here, he gets to this concluding verse, and he says, now to him that, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, notice this, of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. He thinks about the glory of the whole message of the gospel. He says here, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, to the obedience of the faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Written, this was written to the Romans from Corinth, or Corinthians as it says here, and sent by Phoebe, we read about her in last week's lesson, the servant of the church of Centria. So God, since this is the conclusion of this letter, so I want you to see that there's some wonderful things in this letter that you and I want to have a look at here today. Amen. Because just this conclusion is a very powerful thing in general. So we're going to take a look here just at a few things. And just before we do that, let us have a concluding word of prayer just before we start here. Amen. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this epistle to the Romans. We thank you for everything that we have heard, Lord, in this letter. We pray that every precept of it would be a wonderful thing, Lord, that you would bring it to our remembrance. We thank you just for the conclusion, Lord, that we were able to go through this and to come up with the things that are profound that you have said in your word. We pray that every mind, every heart, every home, every family would be impacted greatly by these things that you have said. We give you honor and praise and glory, and we ask you to be with us today as we break the bread of life. We bless your name, we give you praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just take a look here. I prepared a little something here to help us get through this today. So I want you to see that even in this, these are revelations of mysteries kept secret since the world began. In the Maskil of Asaph, he said, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth, he says, in parables. Now, God used to conceal things from people with parables, but he also reveals things. If you're a believer, when a parable is told, you get it.
All right, amen.
If you're not a believer, you go, what? What did he say? And you don't get it. So if you miss it, that's because you don't believe. And so this is a way that God has done throughout the years, and he's passed this down through his people. The parable is a statement that it speaks to people who believe, and they get something out of it. But people who don't believe tend to think that it's a bunch of gobbledygook. We have a lot of that in the world today. Notice that we will not hide them from their children. We pass the knowledge from one generation to the next. Because God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. So that's the covenant people that he called out from among the rest. Now, of course, Paul talks about that in much detail going through this Roman epistle. And so he wants to say the reason for this is that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So God saves us in order that we might keep his commandments. Now, Paul's final admonition to the church was have spiritual discernment.
Yes.
Don't be just sitting there waiting to receive anything. And the reason is that there are false prophets who are in the world.
Yes.
There are always people who defy the truth. There are two mindsets in the world.
All right.
The mindset of the saved and the mindset of the lost.
Right.
So this is a call to spiritual discernment. That's where you and I have to apply what we learn when we come to church. We want to use spiritual wisdom to separate the false from the true.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is given to you in order to help you do this. God doesn't expect us to know things on our own, but our friendship, our fellowship are great, but the reality of deceivers in the midst must not be ignored. Paul says the Holy Spirit guides you through by Jesus Christ, that there will be deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons.
That's right.
He said in another place. So you and I have to be able to discern that which is true. That's why he says be on the lookout for false teachers.
My.
He says, now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So you and I, God expects you to remember, and the reason he does that is that the Holy Spirit, who is given to you as a gift, will bring to your remembrance the things that God has taught you.
Yes, he will.
So when something strikes you and it sounds a little strange, that could be the prompting of the Spirit to tell you to look out. Keep an eye out here is what he means. He says, keep an eye out for those that are trying to deceive you.
Amen.
Amen. And so I just want to emphasize this just a little bit, Jeff, to keep an eye out for folks who are, you know, you want to have that eye of discernment so you can know, is this person coming from the truth or not?
Right.
You need to know that the Spirit of God will prompt you for true or false. Is that right or is it not? Don't be afraid to challenge or question something that you hear.
Amen.
If you don't believe that it's right and the Spirit says to you there's a problem with that, challenge that and find out, is it true or is it false? You have the ability to make that discernment yourself. And so this is something that God has given to the church. And you and I need to understand that it's a wonderful thing to be able to select the true or false. Jesus taught the same thing. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. See, they come in, they look like they're a sheep, they try to fit in among you, but in the inside there's a ravenous wolf waiting to devour you. You see, same thing Jesus said. So Paul's teaching is right along the same lines. Grievous wolves will come in among you, he told the Ephesian elders, not sparing the flock. There are people who come looking to use the church for different things.
Yes.
And they like to use your fact that you believe. They don't believe, but they think they know you do. So they try to manipulate you.
Yes.
He says, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Mm. See that? By good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. See, so you have to be careful. Look out for the diabolical ones. Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? He said, check out the fruit of a person's ministry. Then by that you can tell, you know, whether they're trying to deceive you or not. They might come in looking pretty flashy. You got a lot of them. You know, I always tell people I was in show business before I got saved.
Right.
So I'm not in show business now. I don't come in here. You know, I used to slide down the aisle with a cape on and fly through the building with my guitar on my back. I was doing that when I was lost. So I'm not going to come into church and do that.
Right.
Go flipping down the aisle and turning over chairs with sequin jackets on and all that. I'm not here for that. I'm here to teach the truth.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You know, you should have came to one of them shows back then. You would probably say, well, that dude's crazy. And, but the fact is, you know, I'm here for the truth right now. So the truth will make you free. That's the thing I want you to understand. So some very crucial things in the word of God. And Paul has said this last warning, he couldn't get away without saying that you have to beware of what goes on and what you hear and what you see and how that affects you. Now, I realize everybody's probably thinking about pots you left on the stove and barbecue pits with coals ready to drop a match in it and all that kind of thing and all these kind of things. So we won't be long with you today. But bear with me here today as we just take a look at this final section in this epistle to the Romans. Just as the apostle was in the midst of his closing of this letter, one of the most important epistles in Holy Writ, he is compelled to issue one final word of warning against false teachers whom he knows are ever present and ongoing problem to the church, which seemingly never cease. You know what? It's going to be like that till the end. Jesus said it's going to be just like that all the way up to the trumpet sound. There are going to be some shysters out there with false doctrine trying to deceive the church. I was talking to a friend. It grieved me greatly just last week. He was telling me about somebody who said, oh, you know, the scripture, he gives you reasons why you should doubt the scripture. I said, he says, because man is tampered with the Bible and blah, blah, blah. I said, so in other words, when I sift through what you're saying that God is so weak that there's some man somewhere who can alter what he says and he's not able to give his people the truth. That's what you mean, right? No, I don't mean that. I said, yes, you do. Because if you're telling me he tampered with the word and I don't know what the truth is, then that means whoever that is more powerful than God, right?
Right.
You know, and so to me, it's crazy for you to ever go down that road. And I did that to evoke him to think about what you said. Think about what you said.
Yes.
You're saying the mighty God that made the sun is not able to give you his word.
No.
The God who made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them can't give you his word. He made a tree. That's a hard project for all the men on earth. I said, if I gave them all the project, make a tree like that one over there that reproduces after its own kind, they can't do it. So you think people like that have more authority than God, and he can't give you his word? I mean, it's just ridiculous for you to think that Almighty God cannot give you his word. And so there's all kinds of deceivers in the world. You'll hear all kinds of things. Like he says, well, you know, the letter J was not in the Greek alphabet or something or another. I said, yeah, it's true. I said, neither is the letter H. But that doesn't mean that when you translate into another language that you don't have these things. You know, yes. It's a matter of translation from one language to another. And I said, if you can read the Greek, then you understand what the Greek says. And if you study it, then you'll find out that the letter I is used instead of the letter J. And everything that starts with an I translates into English with a letter J. You know, and so I said, have you studied Greek? Have you studied Hebrew? No, I haven't. I said, well, why would you believe something like that? Yeah. You know, I said, what are you going to do? And they do it so they can attack Jesus. Jesus is always the focal point of attack. Have you noticed that? Yep. We want to exile Jesus. Say, well, if you exile Jesus, what about Joseph? What about Jacob? What about Jeremiah? Yeah. We can go down a list of all kinds of people with J. We're going to exile them out too because J doesn't exist. Does that make sense to you? Oh, well, no, I really did. I said, yeah, well, you got to attack everybody. You can't just attack Jesus. And if you see an attack on Jesus, that is proof that this person is a deceiver.
That's right.
You know, and that's what you need to understand. John said that in his epistle. John said that you can try the spirits to see whether they be from God. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ has come from God in the flesh is from God.
Yes.
The ones who deny Christ are not from God. Very simple.
Amen.
So you try the spirits by the Spirit, and you will know who is speaking for God. The ones who extol and exalt Jesus are the ones telling you the truth. The ones who deny Jesus are the ones who are deceiving you. It's very simple. All false religions on the planet deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They all say that Christ is not equal to God. And the very crux of the Christianity is that Jesus is God.
Yes.
That he comes in the flesh in order to pay a debt for you and me that we could never pay. Not only for me and you, but for everybody, for the sin of the whole world. And he is the only way by which you can be saved. No one else can save you. There's only one Savior. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you will find the test for false religion is, what do you think about Jesus? You want to cut to the chase. I get them coming all the time. And the first thing I want to know is, let's not talk about world poverty and all the kind of stuff you want to discuss. Let's talk about Jesus. Is Jesus equal with God the Father? You know, and the answer must be yes, otherwise we have nothing to discuss. Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet and move along. Because whoever that is a deceiver and an antichrist, John says. And so other false religions will tell you that, yeah, Jesus existed, because they can't deny him, because God indelibly placed him in the center of history, and you can't deny him. You can try. But the calendar says it's 2015 since the Christ, the Messiah, was born. And you can pass that off as something else if you like, but it's better for you if you trust and believe that God implanted him in your calendar.
Yes.
Not only in your Bible, but he's implanted in your calendar.
Yes.
Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate.
Amen.
And only God could have done that. God, his son, in the focal point of time.
Yes.
And so these false deceivers come again and again and again, day after day. And so you have to look out for them. As it always was in the past, as it is even today, false teachers with twisted motives still exist in droves, and they are hard at work deceiving the multitude. That's what they do. Rather than making plain the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began, just as the psalmist Asaph wrote long ago, warning the saved in his day to realize that God desires to inform true believers while at the same time concealing truth from non-believers. If a person doesn't believe and they're hard against God, they choose it for themselves, kind of like the Pharaoh. He gave Moses proof to show the Pharaoh that he was speaking for God.
Amen.
And every time he did, the Pharaoh said, well, I refuse to believe. He hardened his heart. And he went on and on and on and on until 10 different signs had been given to him from God. And he kept on hardening his heart until eventually it got to the place in the Bible where it says God hardened his heart.
Yes.
So if you refuse to believe, it's because you have chosen to believe a lie.
Amen.
God wants to save you. He loves you just like you are. He gave his son in order to save you, no matter who you are. And that's the only way you can be saved. And that's the one central truth of the mystery that was concealed from before the world began, is that God intended to save everybody.
Yes,
he wants every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people to be saved.
Amen.
He doesn't want to punish anyone. But if you choose it for yourself and deny the only medicine that will cure the disease of sin, which is the faith in Jesus Christ, then you choose it for yourself. You choose to believe a lie rather than the truth. And so basically you have to see that that is the defense of the mystery which was concealed in God from the foundation of the world. It was made plain in the lifetime of the apostles, and it's based on the law and the prophets. And so this final benediction that Paul gives summarizes the mission of the church throughout all of time, and it accredits the glory of it all to God and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, this unfolding of the mystery of God is the outcome of all of the law. In other words, the law was for the purpose of being fulfilled when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross.
Amen.
He came to fulfill the law.
Yes.
The law basically for anybody else any other time would be do nothing but condemn you. It can only condemn you. Why? Because we can't keep it.
No way.
I wish I could tell you I kept God's entire law. And if you did, how long did you do it?
Right.
Did you do it from the womb until the tomb?
Yeah.
If you didn't, then the law won't be able to save you. But that's why God sent his son. Because he knew that I was not able to keep it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. He didn't come to destroy the law, he said, but to fulfill it. And he came and fulfilled it, and then he gave his life as a sacrifice for your sin and mine. And that so that whoever believes in him, the fulfillment of the law is done by him for you. He does it on your behalf. And God covers you with his righteousness.
Amen.
And so basically that is the mystery that was written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And that all of these things were kept somewhat secret because nobody understood exactly how it works. But think of it this way, and I think this will help as we conclude our thoughts. Think about the Old Testament saints were still saved by Christ. God had ordained it in eternity past before he made the world, the Bible says. Places like Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says that God chose us in him from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
See, so before he made anything, the gospel was already executed in his mind. It was a complete event. But then God put it forth in time, even before sin came. That's why when we see stuff like what we looked at on Mother's Day, where God said it's not good that the man should be alone, that's even before sin hit.
That's right.
God was preparing to make a way for his son to take on flesh in order to deal with the problem of sin, even before it hit.
Amen.
You see that? And that's in Genesis. We looked at that. Those of you who may not have been here may want to look that one up. Amen. But the fact is, God knew already. It was a mystery to man, but God knew. And his mind, he was making a way that he could take on flesh at the right time in order to pay the bill for all of our sin. The law came even later after that. And when the law came, it said, because you have not kept this law, you will come and make a sacrifice 3 times a year. Before God. So if the proof that you didn't keep it was built into it.
Right.
If you had kept it, why do you need a sacrifice?
All right.
The reason you're bringing the sacrifice is you didn't keep it. You broke it.
Amen.
And so that was built into it, and that was all the way up until Christ was crucified on the cross. And the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in two, torn half in two from the top to the bottom, opening up the way to the most holy place once and for all for whosoever believes in Jesus Christ. And so God had the veil there for all those years. Now the veil is taken away. And the writer to the Hebrews talks a lot about that. And now we have full-blown access to God by the blood of Jesus. And how do we know he completed the job? Because when they laid him in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights later, he got out of the grave with all power in his hand. See that? Defeated death in the grave. So you know what? I'm excited about that, because every day I live another day, I start thinking a little bit more about that whole scenario of death. But I don't think of it with fear in my mind. And just like this is Memorial Day, and I conclude with this. We think about all the folks in our history who passed on. And most of the folks, I'm happy to say, in my family, in my lifetime, were believers in God.
Yes.
This heritage that Asaph talks about, where where it was passed down from, he says here in verse number 4 in Psalm 78, we will not hide them from their children to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. See that they're always giving the glory to God. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He set in motion a history of people who trust and believe in his name. That trusted him to bring them even out of the grave. Remember Joseph said, I'm dying in Egypt, but don't leave my bones down here. Take them on up out of here. I want to take my bones to the promised land because I want to get up with all the patriarchs when it's time for the resurrection. They always look forward to the hope of resurrection. Jesus Christ came and proved that there is a resurrection.
Yes.
And so you and I trust and depend and lean on him. And you know what? I feel much better about the grave. I'm not really worried because when it happens, God has a solution for the problem of death. And he's already displayed it in history and put his son right in the middle of time. So you and I don't have to be worried. You know, and he said, let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So he says, I'm doing all of this for you.
Yes.
You know, so think of it that way, that the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret since the world began is that God has swallowed up death in victory.
Yes.
He did it through his son and displayed it, made him the most famous person on earth, so you and I don't have to worry about a thing.
Amen.
I'm not going to sing Stevie Wonder today, I feel like it. But don't you worry about a thing, you see.
All right.
This is a good thing. God got it all together, and he did it for you.
Right.
So this final benediction summarizes the mission of the church throughout all the ages. Remember that we don't have any other message that's necessary. Our message is Christ died for you.
Amen.
And got up out of the grave for you so that you can trust in him and know that everything's all right. But the greatest Memorial Day of all was that great getting up day when he got up out of the grave and the tomb was empty and death was swallowed up in victory. Amen. So we can trust that the generations before us who passed it on to us, they're all right now, I guarantee you. You don't have to worry about that. Don't go around sad. They would say to you, be happy. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
If you're here today and you have not trusted Christ, we want to invite you to come at this time. And even if you are here and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we want to invite you to come at this time. We extend the red carpet and we invite you to come be a part of our fellowship. Amen. It's our intention to carry this gospel as far as we possibly can. That's the reason why we put it online. That's the reason why we do so many things in the outreach area. And so we want to invite you to come today. If you're here for any reason, if you'd like to unite with us as a member of our church, we invite you to come. And we give you that opportunity right now. Amen. Just come and have a seat here on the front row. And we'll be happy to receive you. Amen. Come, come to Jesus while you have time. Come, come to Jesus. Make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He like to give the invitation for you to come. You can come as a Christian experience, a candidate for baptism, or just to come as for salvation, either one.
Yes.
Amen. And we would like to have you work with us, whoever you are. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We thank God for each one of you. Now, keep in mind, that was the very nutshell of the epistle to the Romans, is the fact that there was a mystery from God which had been concealed. The Apostle Paul, it was revealed to him on the Damascus Road while he was on his way to persecute the church. You know, you think about him. He's one of those who was against the church. So he understands both sides of that. You know what? Everyone in here used to be against the church, or we weren't with the church at some time. You know, at some time or another, maybe you were born in a family where you were raised up in the church. That's possible. But at some time, you may have had an aha moment. You understood that this is a real thing.
Oh,
And I'm so happy. That's the happiest thing I can tell you about my life, is that I'm happy that I am a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the most important thing in my life. I can say a lot of things about myself that God has granted me with. Yeah, I'm the electrical supervisor at the airport. That pales by comparison. I can start saying stuff, you know, and I don't trust in any of that at all. It was nice that God blessed me that way. But I am a child of God. Amen. That I rejoice in. Amen. But I'm not going to always be an electrical supervisor. You know, I'm not always going to be any of these other titles that we might get slapped on us. You know, but I will always be a child of God. Amen. And so I thank him. And last week I told you all, and I'm